Good morning and welcome as we come to celebrate and step soulfully into autumn. I think we might not agree on everything, but I think we can certainly agree today that God's glorious creation is really showing off today. And may you feel that within you also. This morning, just want to call your attention to our communion table, which is prepared, and we'll share that today. And we celebrate open communion here at our church. And so wherever you are on your journey of faith, you're invited to partake of the sacrament this morning. Also, a reminder, you can still bake for the upcoming craft fair, which is not this coming Saturday, but next Saturday. And also the cookies back there, they can't be opened right now, which is kind of a shame. Miss Faith brought those in, and I know people have been trying to go by. I was trying to go by and take one, so yeah. But let us come before God, taking a deep breath in, receiving that Spirit which is freely given to us and lives and breathes within us, and exhale. Join together in our call to worship. Do not despair at the acts of the wicked.
Trust in God.
Do not desire or trust in the power of worldly empires.
Delight in the power of God, in whose life fills our souls.
Do not embrace wrath or resentment. Find patience in times of shadows.
Commit to the ways of God. Trust in the Holy One, as divine love fills our earth.
Amen. Let us rise in body or spirit together and sing, I sing the mighty power of God.
Mountain.
us pray together. You thrive in our times of doubt. Your work takes root even if the drought of fear destroys our fertile soil. Yet we allow our mistrust of you and our neighbors to disturb our growth. We ask you to increase our faith when we are refusing to cultivate it. Motivate us to seek new ways of exploring our faith. Embolden us to trust even when fear creeps into our minds. Amen. In seasons of drought and rains, God is still giving us the encouragement to grow in faith. Know that through the grace of God, we will continue to find the strength to stretch ourselves and expand it. Beloved, we are forgiven by God's grace. Amen. Let us say together what we believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us greet one another with some sign of Christ's peace. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace.
Shrivel sea. That's a lovely anthem. Reminds us of the story in the book of Acts where, in the gospel, where the risen Christ, that evening of the first Easter, he appears on the road with a couple of the disciples who are walking, traveling on the road to Emmaus. And they didn't recognize him. They did not recognize it was the risen Christ. But they begin to talk, and as he talked, their hearts burned within them. But still they didn't recognize him. They said, "Stay with us." And so he went in with them to the house, and when he broke bread, they saw, this is the risen Christ. So that's what our anthem reminds us of this day. It's beautiful, beautifully sung, and a beautiful words. On this Lord's Day, we are mindful of our need to be in prayer for one another. This is Worldwide Communion, or I guess they call it now World Communion Sunday. I don't know if that's something that it's in your thought or memory or knowledge or not, but it started in Pittsburgh in the 1930s, Shadyside Presbyterian Church, and it was a way to bring Christians all over the world together in one moment of communion and acknowledgement that we are all part of one large, beautiful family of God. And so what began here in our city has spread around the world, and on this day, Christians of every denomination and every place, nation around the world celebrates together with us our one family in Christ. So the morning prayer will also, and communion today will also echo a bit of this theme of our wonderful, large, magnificent church family. By the way, I have shingles. I didn't hug anybody this morning, so don't hug me. Some people didn't even want a fist bump. That's fine. I'm not contagious, mostly. So I will not be at the table. Reverend Ng will be at the table, and I'll do the words. But I'm doing the words here. I just didn't want to touch the plates or get close to that so you would feel safe, and I would be separate from that. So that's why we're doing it this way. As we remember each other in prayer today, A.J. Miller wants us to remember a dear friend from many, many years who's on life support system, support in the hospital. His name is Sam Duncan. And so as we have a moment of silence, please remember Sam and keep him in your heart and in your prayers in coming days. That's the only prayer request I have written. I know that you bring people that you love in your heart this day, and we pray for one another in that way. Let us join our hearts together. Gracious God, with grateful hearts, we gather to bring you praise. May your praises fill the whole earth, fill the hearts of every believing disciple of Christ on this World Communion Sunday. We are grateful, thankful for your mighty works, for the tender care that you provide for us each moment, each day. We praise you for our voices, our instruments, our very selves. We join all creation, the flowers, the trees, the grass, the plants, the birds, the animals, all creation. We join with all creation to give you praise this day. We lift up our brothers and sisters around the world who are a part of us as we are a part of them. We pray that you will hear their cries for justice and peace as they face the challenges of their time and place. We give you thanks that you are greater than all of our burdens, stronger than all of our brokenness. That when you touch us and draw near, that we are strengthened and healed. In this moment of silence now, we pray for people that we love, and we remember Sam and others on our hearts. Oh God, cover us, your people, with your strength. May we feel and know your presence walking with us every day. Guide us that we may also walk beside our local and global neighbors. Help us to listen to the voices and cries of one another. Weave us together in hope, O God, that we may recognize that we are all a part of your great tapestry, that all of our threads are needed, and that we are needed, and all are necessary for your beautiful design and plan for the world. So strengthen us, and around this table today, nourish us for the journey ahead. We bring you our prayers in the name of Jesus, the Christ, the Lord of all life. And as he taught his disciples to pray, so we pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We rise, if possible, in body and spirit as we sing together on the screen our hymn. How can I keep from singing? We had that on a Christmas card one time. How can I keep from singing? All of the blessings, all of the goodness of God. How can I keep from singing? It's beautiful. Sing it. Rise now and give your hearts and voices to it.
Thank you.
Please be seated as our ushers come forward to receive this morning's offering.
The scripture today is from 2 Timothy 1 through 14. From Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by God's will, to promote the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm grateful to God, whom I serve with good conscience as my ancestors, your ancestors did. I constantly remember you in my prayers day and night. When I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I can be filled with happiness. I'm reminded of your authentic faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. I'm sure that this faith is also inside you. Because of this, I'm reminding you to revive God's gift is in your through the laying on of my hands. God didn't give us a spirit that is timid, but one that is powerful, loving, and self-controlled. So don't be ashamed of the testimony about the Lord or of me, his prisoner. Instead, share the suffering for the good news, depending on God's power. God is the one who saved and called us with a holy calling. This wasn't based on what we have done, but it was based on his own purpose and grace that he gave us in Christ Jesus before time began. Now his grace is revealed through the appearance of our Savior, Christ Jesus. He destroyed death and brought life and immortality into clear focus through the good news. I was appointed a messenger, apostle, and teacher of this good news. This is also why I'm suffering the way I do. But I'm not ashamed. I know one in whom I've placed my trust. I've convinced that God is powerful enough to protect what he has placed in my trust until that day. Hold on to the pattern of sound teaching that you heard from me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Protect this good thing that has been placed in your trust through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. This is a reading of God's Word.
Thank you. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of my favorite things to do is programs in personal care homes, specifically memory care places. And when I'm there, the best thing that we engage in, that just beats everything else, is something that I simply call music and memories. And it's very simple. What I do is I put together lyrics of songs that were popular when these folks were younger and project the lyrics on a screen. And what we try to do is guess, remember what that song was. It's sort of like name that tune, just with the lyrics, right? And usually we get it without having to play a little bit of the song, because those words are ingrained in the memories, no matter how impaired they are. And then once we do play the music, everybody is engaged in a loud sing-along. It's fantastic, because everybody's kind of on a different level. They're on their own level. And we have some dear friends at some of these places who are unable to speak in conversation. But yet, as soon as we play a song, they are singing along. And then we have others who are just having memory issues that are just similar to me and to you. But it's something that everybody can enjoy together. Now, I have to admit, you know, I can be a little cheeky, and one added bonus, something I love a lot, is that when the young aides come and stay for the program, and when they complain about the music that we share, I love to see their reactions to the lyrics of some of these songs. Now, I'm not sure how many of you remember Jack Jones. He was the guy who sang the Love Boat theme, the Love Boat. But he was best known for a song called Wives and Lovers. You remember the lyrics to that one? Hey, little girl, better wear something pretty, something, you know, don't think just because there's a ring on your finger that you needn't try anymore, that kind of thing. Well, they lost their minds when these two young ladies heard that song for the first time. And that was great, because then we just started and said, oh, what about Johnny Get Angry? That's a great one. How about that? Or I Will Follow Him. And they're always saying, how can you complain about our music when you have music like that? And I understand that. I mean, I do, because there are some pretty misogynistic lyrics in many of the songs, and there maybe still are today, but right then it was not controversial at all. But I was really flummoxed the last time when I was at Franklin Park Concordia, because we were listening to the song When You're Smiling, and boy, did two young ladies get upset about that. I couldn't believe it. First of all, we were listening to Judy Garland sing it. And I mean, that's just magic. She's the greatest singer that ever lived, right? But then Judy sings the bridge. And she says, if you suddenly find out you've been deceived, don't get peeved. If your husband bluntly tells you you're too stout, don't you pout. And for heaven's sake, retain a calm demeanor when a cop walks up and hands you a subpoena. If the groom should take up powder when you're walking down the aisle, don't weep and moan because he's blown. Just face the world and smile. And then, because when you're crying, don't you know, your makeup starts to run and your eyes get red and scrappy. Well, they just couldn't believe it again, just teasing us unmercifully. And then one of our residents popped up and said, have you ever heard the song Don't Cry Out Loud? Remember that one? Don't cry out loud, just keep it inside and learn how to hide your feelings. They thought we'd made that up. And when we played it for them, I thought they were gonna walk out. I remember Kiki saying, how did you even survive if you had those messages telling you that it was bad to cry? And I thought about that. I'm not sure how it was in your house growing up. In my house, we were allowed to cry. And boy, did we do it. Just kidding. But we were allowed to cry. But that was just because my mom had a mother who was adamant that tears were a sign of weakness. My grandmother told my mother never to cry because I'll give you something to cry about. And she said with some kind of pride, which always confused my mom, that she didn't shed one tear at the funeral of her husband, my mom's dad. Because she loved him, but it honestly was a badge of honor for her that she did not cry, and she stood there like a proud, strong woman of German ancestry. And there is something about our culture, something about us, that sees crying as a sign of weakness. Politicians have mocked their opponents as crybabies. Movies and songs tell us, you know, there's no crying in baseball. Suckers and losers cry. Wimps show their feelings. To be strong is to be stoic. Leaders have admitted that seeing men cry in particular is just embarrassing. It's a sign of weakness. When did this happen? When did the culture become one that tells us that strong people, especially men, don't cry? Because we read in our scripture today about Timothy's tears. So I looked at that, and I looked up the history of crying and its social acceptability, and it does say that this weakness in tears connection took momentum in the Victorian era with the rise of the British stiff upper lip. But before that, especially in the ancient world, right here in our scripture today that BJ read, we have a tender, encouraging letter to Timothy. And the letter, which is historically attributed to Paul, offers these words: "When I remember your tears, I long to see you so that I can be filled with happiness." When Paul remembers Timothy's tears, he's reminded of Timothy's strength of faith. So how did we get from the memory of someone's tears being cherished, something you're going to bring up in a letter, to the modern view of people that sharing your feelings and crying is bad? Now, it has changed. It has changed, as evidenced by those two young women and many others. We do see an acceptance of feeling your feelings and crying your tears. But we have to admit that the macho man, the strong woman, the brave person does not cry. That kind of thinking is still pervasive and perhaps even on the rise in some segments of the population. My friend at the library, she told me that her pastor told her, church here in the North Hills, that a long-tenured couple of their church had come to him and said, "You and the other pastor keep preaching this wimpy garbage, this woke stuff." And so he pressed a little bit more and said, "Well, can you give me an example?" And they said, "That turning the other cheek," and you use that word mercy. And the pastor pushed back and said that these woke ideas are actually the ideas, the commands of Jesus, the Son of God. And the couple rolled their eyes and said, "That's the real world now. That doesn't fit." Now, I admit, I've heard these stories before. I've read about them. There was an article in last month's Christian Century that said the same thing had happened to a pastor somewhere else in the United States. But I don't know, when I heard that that was happening right here, in a church I know, a church of somebody, I was sad, I was angry, I was confused, and I was worried, and I still am. Because it makes me worry about the future of the church. And I know we've always worried about the future of the church. We know the church attendance has declined for decades now. But to hear something like this, this goes deeper. This makes me worry that the very word Christian has become very complicated, is getting more complicated. If there are some Christians who find words to be too woke, words like tenderness, mercy, and love to be said in church, and then there are other Christians who find words like tenderness, mercy, and love to be essential to the gospel message, how does that work? Do people just choose and go to the church that uses tough words and the church that uses sappy words? And it's disillusioning, and it made me think, wait a minute, am I getting this right? Am I interpreting the word and Jesus' words correctly for this day and age? Is my understanding of the gospel too woke? Or not woke enough? I've wondered, and I've talked to my spiritual guides, and I've prayed for guidance from our brother Jesus, who faced criticism from the populace when he preached God's word to mixed response. And I've turned to our scriptures. And this text from Timothy this morning, it's what we call a pastoral letter. Written to Timothy, who was a church leader. This is a curious passage. And it's helpful, I think, not just to pastors, but to all of us, because as Protestants, we are a priesthood of all believers, right? And I wonder if some of you have wondered too, am I doing this right? Am I too soft? Am I too hard? And so we look at this letter to Timothy. First of all, it begins with such affection. To Timothy, my dear child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father to Christ Jesus and Christ Jesus our Lord. And there it is, the letter references Timothy's tears as a reminder of strength. And then it goes on to praise women in Timothy's life for planting seeds and nurturing the growth of his faith. A mother and a grandmother. And then what does Paul talk about? He talks about suffering. He's admitting to suffering. This letter written from someone in prison, a captive, someone who was so weak in the world that he was able to be apprehended and contained by powerful forces. And yet a clear message in this letter, one written to encourage a pastor, to encourage all of us, is to not be ashamed of what we know is the truth of the gospel message. And the gospel message is built around and coming from someone who came into the world as a vulnerable little baby needing his mother to survive and his father to survive, both of whom were refugees. Jesus, who himself stood with the vulnerable and the prisoners and the poor. Don't be ashamed, the letter says, to follow the one the world could easily call a wimp and too merciful. Don't be ashamed to recall that the gospel is the story of a man who had 12 friends and was captured and handed his life over to a government that executed him for his message. Don't be ashamed to follow this man who also cried. He cried at the death of his friend Lazarus. He wept over the city of Jerusalem. He cried in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night before he died. This compassionate letter, it reminds us that tears are not a sign of weakness, but it is permissible and even good to allow one's heart to be broken open and to shed the calluses and make room for healing and growth. Tears are good because they can allow our eyes to rid themselves of the specks and the planks that have blinded us to one another's worth, to the needs of others, to our worth, and to the truth that all God's children are heirs to the good news. And the tears are good because another way that we can connect and show that we care are honest, authentic tears. I read about Winston Churchill, the British Prime Minister, who could very well have been called Crybaby Churchill because he showed his emotions quite a bit and cried. But when he was visiting an air raid shelter where 40 people had been killed in the East End of London after the first big raid of the Blitz in September of 1940, Churchill, the reports say, broke down completely. And a woman nearby shouted, "You see, he really cares. He is crying." In the words of my 90-year-old plus friend Joel, if you're crying now, that's good, because that means you love. We, as God's children, we also have that promise that our tears won't flow forever. The Psalms remind us those who sow in tears will reap with shouts of joy. The words of Jesus, as recorded by Luke, say, "Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh." And so let us not be ashamed to stand up and break down in tears because of the gospel given to us through the one who cried, was conquered and killed, but rose for the truths of tenderness, mercy, and love. Amen. And we do come to the table with, as the song we will sing together, with joy. As we prepare our hearts and minds to come and share this meal, let us rise in body or spirit and sing verses 1 and 2 of "I Come With Joy."
Today on this World Communion Sunday, God gathers us at one table with disciples of every language, culture, and tradition. From cathedrals and chapels, from huts and houses, from fields and cities, God gathers us from many places and makes us one in Christ. At this table, we remember the cost of discipleship and rejoice in the richness of Christ's gifts poured out for the whole world. All are invited. God longs to feed us, all of us, with the bread of life and the cup of salvation. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, our Creator, whose image dwells in every face and heart of the human family. We would see you this day in every face and in every place. And so we pray, come, mighty Spirit, Holy Spirit, upon this bread and this cup, that this may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. As once you set your face to Jerusalem to relieve your people's suffering, send now your Holy Spirit. Send your Spirit to the people of Palestine, starving and tired of being starved, to the people of Sudan, impoverished and tired of being impoverished, to the people of Ukraine, war-ravaged and tired of being war-ravaged, to the people of El Salvador and Nicaragua and Haiti, corrupted governments and people tired of being corrupted. Oh God, send your Holy Spirit to the people of the United States of America. For we are divided and we are tired of being divided. By your Spirit, unite all peoples in Christ until we feast together with all the saints in light. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And so at this table, we remember that on the night in which Jesus gave himself for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." We serve one another in Christ's name and in his love for all nations and peoples. Join with me in prayer. Oh God, help us to rise from this table in your resurrection power, to feed the world's children, to free the oppressed, to clear out the minefields, to care for creation. You have served us by your own hand, and now may we be your arms in the extension of peace to a world in conflict, confusion, and chaos. This we ask through Christ, in Christ, with Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now we rise to sing our closing hymn, verse 5, I Come With Joy.
This day.